Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and will bring them into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Well, looking back at the end of chapter 2, in those days and in that time, this is talking about the last days, when Jesus has returned and Israel repent and the Holy Spirit is poured out again in its miraculous form. So it's talking about the last days and the coming of Jesus, and all the nations, that is, I suppose, people from all nations, will be gathered into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will execute judgment on them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. So then finally, people will be judged in accordance with how they have treated God's people. They have divided my land and have cast lots for my people, have given a boy for a prostitute and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Yes, and what are you to me, Tyre, Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? Will you repay me? If you repay me, I will swiftly and speedily return your repayment on your own head. Well, the areas of Tyre, Sidon, and Philistia, that's where the Philistines used to live, this is the area that's now known as Lebanon and as the Gaza Strip. And these areas are very against Israel and the Jewish people at this time. So it could be that what we're seeing at the moment in the Middle East is in fact really the stage ready for Jesus to return, but we don't know. We've got to live every day as if we expect Jesus to come back. I greet my children every morning by saying, "Let's hope Jesus comes back today." Now, we are to live like that, in that spirit of expectancy for Jesus to come back, but fully recognizing that he may not in our lifetime. Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried my finest treasures into your temples and have sold the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem to the sons of the Greeks that you may remove them far from their border. Behold, I will stir them up out of the place where you have sold them and will return your repayment on your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the children of Judah, and they will sell them to the men of Sheba to a distant nation. For Yahweh has spoken it. Proclaim this among the nations. Sanctify war. That is, make war holy. And this idea of jihad, or holy war, has really arisen in fairly recent times, relatively speaking. And again, you see something very similar going on in the area around Israel today, that there is this preparation for a great war with the Jews and with Israel. So, sanctify war, make a holy war, a jihad. Stir up the mighty men, let all the warriors draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, "I am strong." Hurry and come, all you surrounding nations, gather yourselves together. Cause your mighty ones to come down there, Yahweh. So all the mighty soldiers and all the military might of all these nations is to be gathered together, but then God's mighty ones will come down. I think that's talking about the return of Jesus with his angels, because Jesus comes with the angels, the Elohim, the mighty ones, with him. Let the nations arouse themselves and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the surrounding nations. So all the nations that are spoken of as coming up to attack Israel, these are all the surrounding nations. It's all in the context of Israel. I really don't think the Bible has a lot to say about the territory beyond the land promised to Abraham from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will be darkened, and the stars will withdraw their shining. Yahweh will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but Yahweh will be a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the children of Israel. So you will know that I am Yahweh your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem will be holy, and no strangers will pass through her any more. So this is clearly talking about the final establishment of God's kingdom, when Jerusalem will never again be dominated by Gentiles again. And that day has not yet come. It will happen in that day that the mountains will drop down sweet wine, the hills will flow with milk, the brooks of Judah will flow with waters, and the fountain will come forth from the house of Yahweh and water the valley of Shittim. So this is perhaps the situation that's spoken of in the end of the book of Revelation, where there is a river of life that comes out from Jerusalem, and the water brings forth healing wherever it comes. Egypt will be a desolation, Edom a wilderness, because of the violence done to the children of Judah, because they shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. I will cleanse their blood that I have not so far cleansed, for Yahweh dwells in Zion. Well, this is the picture that you have at the end of Ezekiel, where the name of Jerusalem was to be called Yahweh Shamach, that is, Yahweh is there. Now, God is a personal being, and we are made in his image. He does exist in a bodily form. And the message of Revelation, at the end of Revelation, seems to be that God himself will dwell with men, and we shall see his face, and he will wipe away all tears from our full faces. This was the hope that Job had when he said that he knows that after he's dead, worms will eat his body. Yet he said, in my flesh I will see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. This is the great light at the end of the tunnel, that we will actually see God and live personally with God. And yet the Bible talks about Jesus coming to the earth and the kingdom of God being on earth. So understand, therefore, that God himself is going to live on earth. And that gives some other sort of meaning to this statement here that concludes the prophecy of Joel, Yahweh dwells in Zion. It's as if really and truly he is going to be there on this earth. Now this is the wonderful hope that we've got, that we will meet our God. And so that's why we need to build a personal relationship with him now, because it's going to go on forever. It's not just knowing certain facts about God and about the Bible, but knowing him, talking to him in prayer, loving him, praising him, doing his work, seeking to know his will, because this is what we will be doing forever and ever with him.